We've been talking all week about the price of oil and gasoline at the pump, but natural gas prices have soared too, just hit a record high. So a lot of us are paying more for our electricity and for heating our homes. And over in Europe, some prices for natural gas have quadrupled. So why this scarcity here and there and everywhere? Let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Scott.
Okay, let's start here. For a decade, America was the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, as the magazine covers put it. It was abundant. We had this fracking technology to coax it out of the ground. What happened?
Well, supply and demand still matter. While demand fell off a cliff overnight in the spring of 2020, think factories, restaurants, empty office buildings not taxing the power grid, things have snapped back since, and this summer was a scorcher in many places, and that put a huge demand on nat gas-burning power plants. And a good part of the broad basket of energy prices, from gasoline to coal to natural gas and kerosene, we know that that just simply tracks economic activity. Still, we don't have it anywhere as bad as Europe does, where I think the energy market is not as independent and a lot more complicated.
Yeah, and let's talk about Europe. As you say, it depends a lot on imported natural gas. We see prices skyrocketing there. Some fertilizer companies and others that use natural gas as a raw material are actually going under, all happening just in time for winter. So tell me more about the supply crunch there.
Well, in the wake of last year's global demand shock, you know, as I mentioned with energy, unlike the United States with its oceans of natural gas, European countries are dependent on imports, terminals, pipelines, and you throw in hard weather and the difficulty of hiring workers, which has kind of been universal coming out of this, and actually much more of a kind of a green regime where countries like the UK were happy to underinvest in fossil fuels 5 or 6 years ago, and that seems smart.
Yeah.
And then you top it off with short sellers speculating on an ongoing surge in prices. And so the spot price is getting bit up off and out of control is what we've been seeing of late.
So is this hitting the broader European economy, their big industrial producers, their big electricity buyers?
It's walloping the UK in particular for now, which I'd mentioned had starved investment in natural gas infrastructure. I'll give you a stat. Last year, the UK tapped wind for nearly a quarter of its power generation, which you would think is laudable. But then the economy didn't have a backup plan when the wind turned out to be a lot more fickle during the summer and it plummeted to 2% of supplies. And so this has hit fertilizer plants that have had to cut production, several small energy suppliers that were unhedged. They've kind of bankrupted by these soaring prices. Consumers have their heating bills to dread across all of Europe.
And so this is when we bring in Russia, which has long had leverage over Europe because it sends a lot of natural gas there. Vladimir Putin is pushing this controversial pipeline, Nord Stream 2, between Russia and Germany. Hasn't launched yet, but it sure could supply a lot of Europeans. How are these geopolitics playing out?
Well, think about it if you're the enlightened West. You want to hit Moscow where it hurts in its key energy export market and draw a line in the sand against massive continued investments in carbon intensity. It's one thing if natural gas is already cheap and plentiful, or if the United States could freely export its cheap stuff abroad. It can't, but it gives way to downright holdup by Moscow in this environment. Russia's emphasizing that greenlighting this Nord Stream 2 super project would allow direct exports to Germany, bypassing the likes of Ukraine and Poland, which have been skeptical of Putin. The United States fears Russia is going to keep using Nord Stream 2 as a cudgel or a whip, you know, against desperate economies that are going to have to acquiesce.
Yeah. So in the meantime, that's happening now. But real quick, longer term question. You know, natural gas has often been billed as this bridge fuel over the medium term, you know, cleaner than coal. It can keep the world going until renewables can really scale up. Is that in question or is that still the picture?
The biggest question of all, if you ask me, for all the incredible strides in solar, wind, battery power, just about every renewable for more than a decade, you still have to have a no asterisks go-to 24/7 option, regardless of clouds, wind, ocean currents. And to build that infrastructure, you need visibility several years out, even more than a decade out. And no one's going to want to finance or build costly generation pipelines, storage that might well be regulated out by an austere carbon diet that the world will definitely have to go on. And like yesterday, I mean, you have to do it now. Think about pipelines in North America, the controversy among friendly neighborly nations, but then imagine the morass in Europe with hostile neighbors.
Robin Farzad, thanks as always.